Devasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're in Canto 7, Chapter 8, we're on text number 1, starting a new chapter. Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daitya Shutaha Sarve Shrutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Guru Anushiksitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tat Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanusiksitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvartnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanusiksitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanusikitsitam Naiva Gurva Nushiksitam Sri Narada Vacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurva Nushiksitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanushikshitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Dagrihur Naiva Gurvanu Shikshitam. Mataji's Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagruhur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanu Shikshitam Sri Narada Uvacha Ata Daicha Sutta Sarve Srutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanu Shikshitam Sri Narada Uvacha Atadaicha suta sarve. Sutvatat anuvarnitam. Jagrihur ninavad yatvan. Naiva gurvanu shikshitam. Sri Narada uvacha. Sri Narada Muni said, Atta, thereupon, Daicha, Sutaha, the sons of the demons, the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, Sarve, all, Shrutva, hearing, Tat, by him, Prahlad, Anuvarnitam, the statements about devotional life, Jagrihu, accepted, Niravadyatvat, due to the supreme utility of that instruction, Na, not, Eva, indeed, Guru Anushikshitam, that which was taught by their teachers. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sanda and Amarka. Please repeat. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sanda and Amarka. Purport. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process of his life, he is surely successful in returning back home, back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Sanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think maybe I'll read the synopsis of chapter 8 here. This is Lord Nrisimhadev slays the king of the demons. So this is like just a page. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nirikeshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Sunda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from the young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child, and forcibly struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. Thus, these included the great saintly persons, the Pittas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpuras, Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kanaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right. That gives a synopsis of the next chapter here. And very interesting here that Prahlad Maharaj, although a very young boy, only 5 or 6 years old, was able to impart such transcendental knowledge unto his classmates. And here in this particular chapter, we'll be hearing his preaching activities. We know that Hiranyakashipu was a demoniac personality, and his purpose was, of course, to gain power, control, wealth, prestige. And, of course, that is the nature of the living entity in the material world. But we see that out of that particular living entity, Hiranyakashipu, came a very great saint, Prahlad Maharaj. So how is that possible? And we've read that this was possible because of the mercy of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, the great soul who travels throughout the universe and preaches to all kinds of living entities and delivers thousands of upon thousands of living entities. By his mercy, he was able to, by Narada Muni's mercy, Prahlad Maharaj was able to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. And what's important in these particular pastimes are several things. First of all, the most important thing is that one needs the association of a bona fide spiritual master, a sadhu, a saintly person. And when we hear from that individual, then we have to have this implicit faith. Yasya deva para bhakti tata deva tata gurau. Dasyata hi katita hi arta prakashante mahatmanaha. We have to have this implicit faith in the instructions of the spiritual master and faith also in the Supreme Lord. Then it says that the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. It's like revealed. This is what's very important. Because unless and until we surrender fully to the spiritual master, the science of Krishna consciousness is almost impossible to understand. It's not that we can understand this science by our minds or by our activities, but it actually takes the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of such mercy. He was in the womb of a demon. His mother was a wife of Hiranyakashipu. And Narada Muni took special mercy upon her. As the demigods wanted to kill her because they said that the seed of a demon was inside of her. And so they wanted to kill Prahlad's mother. But when Narada Muni came in, he stopped. He said, no, I'll take care of her. So this is a special mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. And this is also the mercy of the disciplic succession. This is what's important. We understand this science by disciplic succession. Not that we try to circumvent it or go beyond it or go around it. We have to surrender completely, and we have to have implicit faith in the instruction of the spiritual master. Sometimes, well, you know, in Kali Yuga, it's normal, but, you know, when we say, or when we hear Krishna, like he says, Tatasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Guram Indriyai Seva Mukha Hijavado Svayam Eva Spurat Yada. We cannot understand Krishna by our blunt senses. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, we think we can. We think that we can understand Krishna just by thinking about him or looking at him. But until those senses become purified, we can never understand who Krishna is. So this purification process is given to us by the pure devotee of the Lord, the Acharya. Srila Prabhupada gave us this process, this method of Krishna consciousness. And once we take up this science, we can see our senses become purified. We see that we don't want to understand the Supreme Lord by our mind or our intellect, but we actually want to understand the Lord by our service, the loving exchange that we have with the Supreme Lord. And we see that when one accepts a guru, one will speak intelligently, no more nonsense. Previous to us coming to Krishna consciousness, we all spoke nonsense. What is that nonsense? Bodily platform of life. We spoke about sense gratification. We spoke about politics, just like what the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj and his classmates were telling them, that you have to know about politics to be in the material world. You have to know about money-making. You have to know about sense gratification. So this is what the teachers were teaching these children. And Prahlad Maharaj, because he got the mercy of Narada Muni, he understood differently. He understood that the goal of life is actually to become a devotee. But he also understood that only by devotional service can this be acquired, by no other means. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva visate tat anantaram. that if we want to understand the Supreme Lord as He is, it can only be done by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by this service, one can go to the kingdom of God. So this is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave us this process, this method of service here, in order for us to become purified and for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to offer our respects to the spiritual master. We have to. This is very important. And after we offer respects to the spiritual master, but we also have to remember and carry out his instructions. Like it's you know, you can see a guru, a spiritual master, you can offer your respects, Jai Guru Dev, Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. But then we have to also remember his instructions. And then we have to execute those instructions. That's what's very important also. Sometimes we see, and through the years I've experienced this, that sometimes there'll be a spiritual master that'll come to New Dwarka, and all of a sudden I see people that I haven't seen since the last visit of the spiritual master. And I'm wondering, wow, this is great. They're coming here and they're saying, Jai Guru Dev. They offer him flowers. Maybe they accept a cookie. And then everything's really wonderful. And they come to a couple of classes. And then the spiritual master goes to his next destination to preach. And then you don't see those devotees again. So it's one thing to say Jai Guru Dev. And it's another thing to remember the instructions of the guru. And those instructions, this vani, is most important. Even Prabhupada said that. There's vapu, there's vani. Vapu must be there. If the guru comes, we should serve him directly. His bodily needs, we should cook, take care of his cloth. Those things are important. They're necessities. We should do that. But of the two, the vani, the instruction, is the most important aspect of the guru. And here Prahlad Maharaj is the prime example. He never personally served Narada Muni by, you know, making a meal for him. He might not have even been able to say Jai Guru Dev. I don't know. But he did hear the instruction. And he executed that instruction. And that is to preach Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada has, most of you here in this room have not seen Prabhupada present. And you've never spoken to him. But you've heard about Prabhupada. And you're hearing his instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the different books that we have, his lectures. We're hearing that instruction. And you can see by that instruction, you've become Krishna conscious. You developed a desire to want to become a devotee. And that is very important. That's the essence. And Prabhupada has given so many instructions. This temple is for that purpose, to execute the instructions of the spiritual master, like deity worship. How important it is for us as neophytes that we need to have this devotional service to the deity. We need to see the deity of Krishna, because that'll help us understand that Krishna is a person. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us. This is the essence. You know, when we meet that guru, that special person that we want to surrender to, that's what it is. First you surrender, then you inquire submissively, and then you render service. This is essential. This is the formula of advancement in Krishna consciousness. And that particular service can be either by physically serving the guru, or it's by following the instruction. And Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent acharya of ISKCON. He's the siksha for all of us in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He has given us the instruction of how to go back home, back to Godhead. So if we surrender to the instruction of the acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and to the other bona fide spiritual master, then Krishna accepts this. Krishna accepts that surrender. And when Krishna accepts that to surrender, one gets empowered to be able to preach Krishna consciousness. Every morning we sing, Yasya Prasadam Bhagavat Prasadam, Yasya Prasadam Nagatikatopi. Every morning we sing that. And in that particular phrase, stanza, it says that we please the spiritual master, and by pleasing the spiritual master, we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna accepts that service to the Guru as service to himself. And this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So when we associate with such advanced souls, like here we see Narada Muni, he was preaching to Prahlad Maharaj, or through the womb, to his mother. And from that, Prahlad Maharaj, he developed so many great qualities. He became very tolerant, very knowledgeable, fully surrendered, clean. These are just some of the examples of sattva-gun, the mode of goodness. One has mind control. One is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are some of the attributes of this mode of goodness. And the sadhu has these attributes. A sadhu, like if when we met Srila Prabhupada always looked like pukka, very clean. He always looked so amazing. I mean, everything fit on him. You know, sometimes I'd look around us devotees and our dhotis were like really, you know, ragged looking. We didn't know how to put a dhoti on. Or our kurta was like just wrinkled up. Or we were disheveled looking. But Srila Prabhupada, whenever you saw him, he was just perfect and clean. It was amazing. And if you were ever there when Prabhupada gave a class, sometimes he would drink water. And when he would pick up the cup and drink water, it was like heavenly. It was just phenomenal. How could someone do that? And, you know, through the years I tried to do that. But, you know, I'm afraid to do it in public because, you know, I could be drenched. And you know, slobbering all over. But Srila Prabhupada, he could just do it so expertly, and it just flowed naturally. And he was so tolerant. I recall one time being in Detroit, and I was right next to Srila Prabhupada, just maybe 1 foot, 2 feet away, and staring at him. And Prabhupada periodically would just look at me, and I don't know what he was thinking, but I was just so immersed in looking at Prabhupada's features. Everything about him was just beautiful. His lips, his nose, everything was just incredibly beautiful. And he just looked at me and kept looking at me, and I was just staring at him. I was surprised that Prabhupada didn't say something like, "What do you want? Like, what's your program, Prabhu?" He was very tolerant. I was like a little kid. So he accepted me as like a little child looking at him. And then out of the blue, he motioned to me. And I was just frozen. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what Prabhupada wanted. And he motioned to me 2 or 3 times. I didn't know what to do. And finally the servant, who was there sitting, understood what Prabhupada... Prabhupada gave me an opportunity to service to him. But I was so dull-brained, I couldn't figure out what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And all he wanted was to have the microphone placed in front of him. The microphone was there, and he just wanted the microphone. And I was so dull-brained, I couldn't figure it out. So I passed up an opportunity to do service for the pure devotee of the Lord. And this is our problem. We're dull-brained. We're in such ignorance that we don't know how to properly serve the spiritual master. But we see that if we become purified, like if today I was standing here and Srila Prabhupada was there, I think I'd figure it out real quick what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So through time, through the process of purification, by absorbing ourselves in the instruction of the Guru, we become purified. And this purification process takes some time. Everyone's different. Some take longer. Someone like Prahlad Maharaj, an extreme example of purity and empowerment. We may not be so fully surrendered, but the process or the mission of Krishna consciousness is for us to become sadhus. That's why we're here. We're here to become sadhus, clean, tolerant, knowledgeable, fully surrendered. This is why we're here. And everything we're doing in the morning is for that purpose. Getting up. This is titikshava. To get up in the morning is titikshava. We're voluntarily putting upon ourselves some pain. Pain. It's pain. Get up 4 o'clock, 3:30, whatever. Take a cold shower. I know we don't all take cold showers. I just say that. We may rinse off with the cool water. But to take bath, put on tilak, chant Hare Krishna, sometimes that's painful. It is. It's painful. Especially in the beginning. Very painful. But we have to be tolerant. That's part of being tolerant. And by inflicting upon ourselves this austerity of coming to Mangal Arati, it's austerity. Come to Mangal Arati and chant and dance. Can you imagine that sometimes that's painful to chant and dance in front of the deity? Sometimes that can be painful. We can be painfully tired and our eyes can barely be open. And we try to chant, we try to participate, but it's painful. But we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, and we're doing it for the pleasure of the spiritual master, following his instruction. Because that is his instruction for purification. That is the science of purification. And then we worship the Tulsi plant, then we chant, then we come to Guru Puja, and then we... it's painful sometimes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. Yes, it is. Yes, we're so conditioned. This is how conditioned we are. That it's painful for us to hear about the message of the Supreme Lord. And this is our ignorance. And until we become purified, until we actually become very purified, it's painful. It was said that Srila Bhakti Saranta Maharaj, sometimes he would sing out of key. Out of tune, out of key, just to ward off, you know, the insincere devotees, to not use the chanting of the holy name for sense gratification, but just to hear the holy name. So you can see the difference. So how we accept the instruction of the spiritual master is how we become purified and how we can understand more the science of Krishna consciousness. But if we don't do the basics, if we just don't even do the basics, and the basics are what I've just mentioned, that's called the basics. If we can't do that, then how can we understand the science of Krishna consciousness? How can we understand to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness like Prahlad Maharaj? And this is actually the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya, he wanted that in every village in the world there should be this Krishna consciousness movement. And in that temple there should be sadhus. And those sadhus should go out and make other sadhus by the preaching effort. But if we don't do the basics, we can't understand the preaching effort. We can't become empowered to be able to preach the science. And neither can we understand the preaching movement. Everything we do in this Krishna conscious movement is preaching. To keep the lawn trimmed, green, is preaching. If one is a real preacher, they'll understand that. Because it attracts the conditioned souls. The restaurant, that is preaching. And so is the gift shop. It's preaching. It's giving the culture of Krishna. And only unless one becomes a real preacher can one understand that, the culture of Krishna consciousness. We see that Prabhupada gave us so many things. A book distribution, Harinam. Keeping the temple room clean is preaching. There's no difference there. Prabhupada said there's no difference between the temple room and the pujari room. They're the same, one and the same. Unless we're really preachers, we can't understand that. It's very difficult to ascertain, well, no. If we're a neophyte, we'll think, oh no, that's over there, this is over here. No, there's no difference between it. And so when we become purified in Krishna consciousness, then our preaching effect can become potent. But we have to execute the instruction of the spiritual master in order to do this. And Prabhupada himself said that preachers, they're actually superior to a devotee that is in the Himalayas. You know, you may want to go to the Himalayas and you may want to actually sit there and meditate. But Srila Prabhupada himself said that a preacher is more superior than a person that wants to do that. Or go out somewhere in the forest and just meditate. Prabhupada says they're actually superior, but not only are they superior, but because they're fighting for Krishna's sake, they're more compassionate. So that's what a temple's for. A temple is for preachers who actually want to fight for Krishna's sake. This is what Prabhupada even said that in New York. He said, I want to fight for Krishna until my last breath. This is the science of Krishna consciousness. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is doing. And he proved it, that his own father wanted to kill him, but he wouldn't stop preaching. And for Krishna's sake, he put himself under the terrible hand of Hiranyakashipu. And that's what this chapter is about. So we should see these examples as very real. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we want to be recognized by Krishna very quickly, then preaching is the best thing. That is how you are recognized by Krishna very quickly. But we should understand, when we say preaching, we don't mean you just go out on book distribution or Harinam. It means right here in the temple. Preaching means that we set a good example. You coming to the program, clean, tolerant, fully surrendered, knowledgeable. This is preaching. This is attractive. When we develop those qualities, we become attractive to individuals that are searching and seeking spiritual life. And so the sadhu, the great devotee, is Surit, the well-wisher. He has well wishes for everyone. Doesn't discriminate. Even for animals. The well-wisher of animals, even. Doesn't matter. And you know, animal-like human beings. There's no discrimination. But unless we execute the science of Krishna consciousness, we can't understand that. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. And it's almost impossible for us to think how to put our life on the line. For Krishna, to preach the science of Krishna consciousness. So this is what Prabhupada wanted. And here Prahlad Maharaj is exemplifying this Titikshava and his, and what is Karunika? Karunika, that's it. Compassion. Very important. We have to develop, you can only develop that by the execution of Krishna consciousness, which is chanting nicely, doing devotional service, serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, becoming peaceful, clean, intelligent, compassionate. So these are all the attributes of a great soul like Prahlad Maharaj, and of course someone like Narada Muni, who himself was the epitome of surrenderedness. He himself came from a background of being the son of a maidservant. He didn't even know his father. Narada Muni didn't know who his father was. Still, he became the most advanced and compassionate devotee of Lord Krishna. And by that activity, by that mercy, he went out and delivered so many conditioned souls. So that's our position. We've come from family members that aren't so, I don't want to blaspheme anyone's parents, but, you know, we don't come from the greatest of stock. Let's put it that way. And but still, look at our opportunity. Let's not waste that opportunity and just kind of hang out and develop a fraternity. Let's get a fraternity together here. No, this is not a hangout fraternity. This is actually for serious preaching effort to help people come to Krishna consciousness. That's what we do. That's what we're here for. That is Krishna consciousness. We're not here for a fraternity or you know, feel good, let me give you a hug, and then everything's okay. No. Those things are there, but they should be for real. For real means we execute Krishna consciousness. That's for real. Then when you get a hug from a great sadhu, you feel it. Like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatan Goswami. He was in ecstasy. This is what we mean by a hug. You hug someone, you develop ecstasy from that hug. Just like a person in a material world who is an alcoholic, they're mad after a drink. They have to have a drink of some alcohol. So in the same way that that person is mad for alcohol, we should be mad for the association of a sadhu. Let me embrace a sadhu. Let me have the association of a sadhu. Just like that. And then that'll be a genuine embracing. This is what we should want. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.